Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Our shepherd is Pastor Jonathan Edward Ford, and our physical address is 6050 Osage Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We are glad to be with you from Knoxville, Tennessee today, and we're going to have a song of worship from our Deacon Bruce Harrison Sr., accompanied by Bruce Harrison Jr., and then we will have our prayer and scripture by Brian Edward Harrison.
Amen. Thank God for all he's doing. All right. Thank God for all he's accomplished. Even in the midst of chaos, God is still here. He's working. He's working.
Never stop working. Never stop.
and never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. Never stop.
Something now that their father was dead. So they came up with a plan
and they did like many of us do when we're afraid. They lied. Yes, they lied. We're just going to have a real talk this morning. Is that okay? Is that okay that we have a real talk in the chat room this morning? That's what many of us do when we get afraid. They did that and they lied, and it says here in verse 16, so they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. This was not the first time that Joseph cried. Go with me to chapter 43 in the same book, and we're going to look at the 29th and the 30th verse. It says here, as he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? He said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved in the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. Genesis chapter 45, just two chapters forward, in this portion of the story, Judah, Joseph's older brother, is pleading with Joseph for the fate of their youngest brother, Benjamin. Verse 1 says, Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, have everyone go out from me. So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brother. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Look at someone you know and say, strong men and women of God cry sometimes. It really is okay to cry sometimes. There's an old song that the saints used to sing in church. My godfather would say, back in the day. The song said, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. Trouble in my way, it makes me cry sometimes. But I know Jesus, he will fix it after a while. You see, the saints had the key to overcoming. The key is having the right focus. Like Joseph's tears, your tears can become your testimony if you have the right focus. Tears today will represent our troubles, okay? Now let's talk just for a little while about tests. What good is a test if you don't pass it, right? Passing the test means having the right focus, right? Having the right focus means choosing to let God be sovereign over every situation. It means understanding and accepting that God's way really is the right way all the time. God alone is the only one that is in complete control and absolutely right in every situation, even in the midst of your pain, even if it's your fault, or maybe it's not your fault at all. Choose God's way and let God be sovereign in your issues, in your test, and in your storm. Now, we must ask ourselves, what way are we choosing? God's way or our own way? The key to operating God's way is in the relationship. In the relationship. You will not allow God to be God and rule over you and govern you if you don't have a good relationship with him. You won't submit to doing things God's way in the test if you do not have a strong and active relationship with your God. Our relationship with Jesus is the process that we must be committed to. Let me ask you, how strong would your marriage be if you did not spend time on your relationship? How strong would your relationship be with your brother or your sister or your friend if you didn't spend time working on that relationship? What if you just spent the same amount of time that you honestly spend with God on your friendship, on your marriage? How would those relationships stand the test of time? What if you fed your soul as often as you feed your body? No one likes to be hungry or thirsty. If you're thirsty, you are going to drink something. If you're hungry, you're going to eat something. It may not be what you want to eat, but you're going to eat something, right? We pencil God in and we hope that we have time. We make time every day to eat. Am I right? What if we were just that intentional about our relationship with God? The Bible says we ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are strengthened and built up and changed by the Word of God. We must spend time reading and meditating and studying the Scripture. We must spend time praying and fasting and searching to know our God. Passing the test of life is directly related to our relationship with God. Now then, which way are you going? Work on your relationship with God, and God will work on your want to. Hear me now, young people. Watch out for this test. When your friends want to know what you're going to do about whatever situation or whatever issue or test that you are facing in your life right now, just tell them to wait a minute. Maybe tell them to pump the brakes or to back up off you. But just hold on for a second. Tell them that you are looking for God's way in the situation. Don't clap back. Don't snap back. Don't blow up their DM box. But just be still. Maybe not react or retaliate right away. Take some time to talk about it with God. Take some time to search the Scriptures and seek godly counsel. Pray for wisdom and look for God's way in the situation. You see, God's way really is the best way all the time. Adults and parents, as you deal with your adult issues and tests, remember that God is moving you toward what He has in mind, what He has in mind for you. David went through some hard times, but at some point, he realized that what was going on was a part of God's plan. In Psalms 119 and 71, David said, "It was good for me that I was afflicted." He was looking back at life's issues with the right focus. Many times our hardest tests impart the biggest lessons in our lives. Some of the largest companies were formed during the Great Depression. Be strong and courageous in the test. Choosing God's way in every situation, it is the best way. Remember, your troubles don't mean God has stopped or is less concerned about you. Quite the contrary. It proves that He cares too much about you to allow you to stay the same. No matter what's going on or how blessed you think you are, remember this. What God has in mind for you, it's always better than what you have in mind for yourself. You may have fallen or completely missed the mark. Don't be discouraged. Get up again. Try again. Don't give up. Get the right focus and choose the right way. Choose God's way. Now, wait just a minute. I want you to take a deep, deep breath. Breathe in and breathe out. Okay, do that for me and listen. Oftentimes, God's way may not be the way you want to take. Oftentimes, God's way may not be the way you want to take. You may not want to do it that way. After reading and searching the Scriptures and seeking godly counsel, you may still want to go your own way. But look at your neighbor and say, "Would you please help me and pray for my want to?" Sometimes I have to pray for my want to. That's if we're having a real talk this morning. Pastor Ford told me that his real church was going to be on the live stream this morning and that we could chat in the chat room. He told me that we could have a real talk. I'm just being real. Sometimes I really do have to pray hard for my want to, because I don't want to do it that way sometimes. But because of my relationship with God, and because of your relationship with God, you will surrender to doing God's way, because that is the right way all the time, right? I'm so glad that God lets us help in the Word of God. Isaiah 59 and 55 and 9 says, God's ways are higher than our ways. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto man. That's our way. That's when we go our own way. But that way leads to death. That certainly is not the right way. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 18 says, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight. The Lord is always watching, and His way, that's the right way. It's just the right way. Work on your relationship, and God will work on your want to. When we have the right focus, we will pass the test of integrity. Tests are difficult. They really are. But inside every test is an opportunity for spiritual growth, an opportunity to walk upright before your God. That's the test. Your spiritual integrity is going to be challenged. Not just on Sunday, not just on payday, not just when someone important is watching, not just when you want to get recognition. Are you doing the right thing when no one's looking? Are you doing the right thing when no one is appreciating you? Are you doing the right thing when you're not being treated fairly? God is watching. Joseph's life, like ours, had taken many detours, twists and turns. He had many highs and lows. But he realized, like we must, that God was sovereign, even in his difficult times. He passed test after test. Certainly he could have obtained justice for himself. He was second in command overall of Egypt, right? He had power, but he forgave. Not only did he forgive, but he spoke kindly to them, and he blessed those same brothers that took advantage of him, and he took care of them and their families. You will have opportunities to respond to the test God's way. There will be times when we will have to be still and be patient in suffering and endure hardship. You may be mourning this morning. You may have to mourn with those who are mourning and bless those who curse you. You may have to love as Christ has loved us. You may have to extend grace by the same measure that grace was extended to you by Christ Jesus. Sometimes the test is simply going through the situation in a way that honors God. You may have to hold on to a piece of the shipwreck like Paul did, while God brings you to dry land. In this story that I'm speaking of, Paul acknowledges that even though they were in a terrible situation, they would not die, because an angel had spoken to Paul, and he believed God. God was in control, and he simply needed to hold on. That story is in Acts chapter 7, if you want to read it sometime. But this morning, if you will allow me to read the 22nd through the 25th verse, Paul says in the Word of God, now I urge you to take courage, because there will be no loss of any of our lives, but only of the ship. For last night an angel of God, of the God I belong to and serve, stood by me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. It is necessary for you to appear before Caesar. And indeed, God has graciously given you all those who are sailing with you. So take courage, men, because I believe God, that it will be just the way he told me. Perhaps those verses were for you this morning. Maybe you are in a storm right now. God is there. Remember, he promised never to leave you or to forsake you. God will always be there to help you. Take courage. Believe God. He will get you through, and He'll put your feet on dry land once again. Last week, I was thinking about our matriarch, Pastor Lucille Ford, the late Pastor Lucille Ford. I never thought that my mother's passing would be good for me in any way. But as I look back now, I can see the sovereign hand of God on my life at that difficult time. During that season, I learned to stand in ways I was not standing. I cried a lot as I surrendered to what God allowed. I saw God's way in the midst of a very difficult time. And today, I am a hospice nurse because of those tears that I cried during that time. Today, I'm a hospice chaplain because of those tears and what God was doing in me during that difficult journey. You see, unbeknownst to me, there was a unique gifting deep inside me that God had placed there. God, in His sovereignty, showed me who I was, and He directed my steps toward the destiny that He had in mind for me. You see, it really is okay to cry sometimes. It really is okay to cry sometimes. But God is good. He really is good. You don't have to be perfect. God will use imperfection to build the kingdom. You don't have to be an extraordinary person for God to do something extraordinary with your life. Life happens to all of us. Trouble will knock at your door, and it will walk right into your life. But be encouraged. Your God is merciful and He's faithful to complete the good work that He has started in you. He continues to pour out His love on us, even in the midst of our painful situation. What was meant to harm you, God will make it work together for your good. You must, however, have the right focus. Remembering God's way is the right way all the time. Allow God to move you toward what He has in mind. That truly is divine destiny. You may have something in mind for your life, and you may call that destiny. But what you really ought to be after is God's divine destiny, what He has in mind. Be encouraged to hold on to your faith in God. God is in control. Even now, He's working it out for your good. Will you allow the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper to turn your tears into testimony? He is your help in times of trouble. He is your refuge and your strength. He is the lifter of your head. Remember what He has already done. That same God is faithful and true. So cry if you want to. It really is okay to cry. But keep your focus on God. And your tears will become your testimony. And like Joseph, you will rise again. In verse 20 of our scripture text, He says, "What you meant for evil, God meant for my good." God can use what you're going through if you commit to going through God's way. The world desperately needs to see authentic Christians shining the light of Jesus Christ. Now more than ever, it is important that we live right in the eyes of our God. Walking in righteousness, is simply walking in right relationship with God. You and I, disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, we are the church, the living epistles that are being read among men. Be authentic Christians. Shine the light of Jesus for the world to see. And as Christ is lifted up in us, He will draw all men unto Himself. Like the saints used to sing, "I want the world to see Jesus in my life. I really do. I want to live so God can use me anytime and anywhere." Is that your desire? Be encouraged, be blessed, and know that God loves you. Choose God's way in every situation, and you will see tears become your testimony when your focus is on God. Maybe you've lost your way. Maybe you don't have the right focus this morning when you look back on your life. Maybe you don't know Christ at all. If that is you this morning, would you pray this prayer of salvation with me? Dear God, I confess that I am a sinner, and there is nothing I can do to save myself. I am helpless to forgive my own sin, nor can I work my way into heaven. At this moment, I trust Christ alone as the one who bore all my sins and died on the cross. I believe Christ did all that will ever be necessary for me to stand in his holy presence. I believe that Christ was raised from the dead as a guarantee of my own resurrection and eternal life in heaven. I now place my trust and faith in Jesus Christ. I choose to have you as my Lord and Savior. Be the sovereign ruler of my life as I surrender all that I am and ever hope to be to you, Lord, and your ways. Thank you for the assurance that I am yours, and now I am a member of the royal family of God. Thank you for hearing my prayer and receiving it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our contact page and check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian. Leave us a short message along with your contact information, and someone from our staff will contact you to discuss the next steps of your Christian journey. And now we will have our announcement by Deacon Bruce Harrison.
Amen, church. First, we will do an offering. Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. This morning, you can worship through giving in one of three ways, either by text message or our website at www.taylortabernacle.com/giving, or by mailing your check or money order. To give by texting, text the code Taylor61. To the phone number 73256. You will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And now we'll do the announcement. Turning the Tide United Way campaign. Like the church, our outreach center, Turning the Tide, has been closed due to the coronavirus outbreak. However, we have begun planning our reopening. The pastor is asking all members and supporters who work for an employer who hosts an annual United Way fund drive to consider supporting Turning the Tide. A nominal donation of $5, $10, or $25 per pay will go a long way in helping the Tide Center reopen. Turning the Tide United Way number is 46030. For those who cannot support via the United Way, feel free to send your donation directly to the Tide Center at P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. The pastor and the leadership team would like to announce that they have begun planning for a mid-September reopening date for our church. Amen. The exact date will be announced as we get closer. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact either Cassandra McCoy, Shanita Scott, or Makia Price. Please begin to pray for our safe and successful reopening. And now for the important dates that are upcoming, we have Friday night PBS via the church conference line, Sister Christina Rook. On August 23rd, Sunday service hosted by Pastor Jeffrey Gibbs, Jr., pastor of the Encounter Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Looking forward to that message. On August 28th, Friday night, PBS, via the church conference line. The leader is to be announced. On August 30th, Sunday service hosted by Deaconess Lillian Davis Jones and family. Looking forward to it. Remember to hit subscribe right there on YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date on all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly email, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. If you have any prayer requests, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our prayer request page or call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave us a message. And now we'll bow our heads and we're in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have allowed this service to occur, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are still in charge, Lord, both in the universe and in the heavens and earth, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you continue to just hold us in your mighty hand, Lord. We ask you to continue to guide us and to keep us in your way. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing in our lives, Lord. We thank you how you continue to just watch over us, even in the midst of perilous times, Lord, even in the midst of a pandemic. So, Lord, we ask you that the children return to school, Lord, that you would keep them safe, Lord, keep them out of harm's way, Lord. Lord, that nothing will come upon them by way of infection or infestation, Lord. But, Lord, that they would be able to focus on learning and keep their mind from being distracted, Lord. Lord, we ask you to continue to be with the sick, those who are in the hospital, Lord, those who are at home, Lord, those who are recovering, Lord. Lord, because we know in your word you say that you wound and you make well. So, Lord, we ask that you take those who are wounded, who are sick, and, Lord, to make them well, that they may glorify your name and give a testimony of what an awesome God you are, Lord. But we thank you for all that you continue to do. We thank you for the message that was given today. We ask, Lord, that we digest it and we apply it to our lives in any manner that you have given us to apply. So now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to His work within us, we say, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. We ask you to bless this day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.